7. While you're turning there, I'll mention Beth is going to Togo, and she could use a little bit more money to help her with her trip. $700. I don't know how much of that's come in yet. But anyway, she's going to Togo November the 8th, which is just around the corner, and she'll be doing missions work there for a month at a Baptist hospital. So if you could help her with that, that would be greatly appreciated. Don't forget that. We do have Trish Strickland with us. I didn't know she'd be here this morning, but she'll be giving us an update on her mission field here Sunday night. So that's a blessing to have. Wave, Trish, so people know who you are. We support her as a missionary. And we have a young man. I forgot your name, buddy. Dylan? Stand up. He happens to be passing through. Thank you. He's from Pensacola Christian College. He's in our area. He's checking us out. Let's be on our best behavior today, the best that we can. But any of you young people want to think about going to college, I'm sure he'd be glad to talk with you. And we'll hear from Trish this evening and what the Lord's been doing in her life as well. If you have found Joshua chapter 7, stand with me, please. I want to read the first 13 verses. And then, you know, I can't make one sermon out of this chapter. I would have liked to have, but I can't. So I'm going to make two short ones, which doesn't bother some people. But so we're going to read 13 verses, and then I'm going to skip over and read two other verses. But let's begin by reading the first 13 verses together. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zibdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even to Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have eaten of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel did not stand for the accursed. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. Skip over to verse 20, please. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold, and 50 shekels weight, I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we come to you this morning asking you to bless the teaching and preaching of your word. This is a sad story. Nonetheless, it's part of your word, and it's part of what we have as we go through the book of Joshua. So we preach on it, but in some ways it'd be nice if it never happened, but it did. And it is here for our good and our example. So I pray that if there's a believer here that is somewhat like Achan, you'll deal with them, and they will stop walking disobedience and start being obedient soldier. For those that do not know Thee as Savior, they will see the awful consequences of sin, and they'll deal with it and do something about it today. And I pray that we would all see how our sin affects others around us. In Jesus' name and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me review the book of Joshua. We've been away from it for just a few weeks, but when we started with God giving Israel a new beginning. We left the book of Deuteronomy. Moses was dead. Joshua had become the new leader. God made Joshua the leader under Moses' direction. Joshua became the new leader. They had a new leader. They had a new land. The Canaan land was right before them, and they had a new life. In chapter 2, we found God encouraging His people with His commission. He told them what He wanted them to do. He gave them promises. He promised them that they would be victorious in the promised land. They would have victory. He promised them from His word. By the way, God gives us promises from His written word today. But anyway, God encouraged them. Then they had a convert in Canaan, Rahab the harlot, you remember, that trusted the Lord as she protected the spies there. And all this time, God is building the faith of the Israelite people. In chapter 3 and 4, we saw that they were moving forward by faith. They had crossed over the Red Sea. God had caused the water of the river to like dam up, and the people crossed over on dry land. And you know, you stop and think about all this stuff. These people, and Achan was one of them, saw God move and move and move and do incredible things and do incredible things. I mean, it's something what they saw. Then in chapter 5, God prepared them for victory. He affirmed His presence. He reaffirmed where He was with them and what they were doing. And God, I'm going to be with you. You're going to get the land. You're going to be victorious. You can take it. And so they established the covenant of circumcision in that same chapter. And then in chapter 6, we saw where the conquest began, and they took Jericho by faith. I mean, they marched around the walls 7 days, and on the seventh day, they marched around it, and then they blew the trumpets, and they shouted, and the walls fell down flat. Quite frankly, that was a miracle. You've never seen anything like that happen. They never saw anything like happen like that before, and they never saw anything like that happen after that. So these people had seen God move and God move and God move, and God was building their faith and strengthening their faith. And then we come to chapter 7. And I guess if you could want to title chapter 7, you could title it Defeat in the Land of Victory. Now remember, throughout our Christian life, we are supposed to be living a victorious Christian life. However, there's battles. Canaan land is in heaven. There's battles. There's battles in Canaan land. There's battles in the promised land. And so they're going over here and they're going to go fight. But as we come to chapter 7, there is defeat in the land of victory. In Deuteronomy 11 and verse 11, Moses described the promised land as a land of hills and valleys. Isn't that kind of like our life is? It's a land of hills and valleys. As a matter of fact, if anybody other than me has been to the land of Canaan, it really is a land of hills and valleys. That's how it is. However, it describes the life of faith as a picture of Israel's experiences there. They were up and they were down. By faith, we claim our inheritance in Christ, and we experience peaks of victory. But I'm going to tell you something, we experience valleys of discouragement as well. Everybody does. Discouragement is not inevitable in the Christian life. But we can't have mountains without valleys. I want you to notice something in verse 7. Go back there, please. The very first word in chapter 7 of verse 1. The word is but. And that signals that things are about to change. All the victories they've been having, all the things that God has been doing, the watching the hand of God move and move and move. Now all of a sudden things are about to change. And they're going to go from the mountain of victory at Jericho, where God had defeated the Jerichoans, I don't know if that's a word or not, but it sounded pretty good to me at the time, to this defeat in the valley of Ai. Joshua is a gifted leader. He's an experienced leader. He's still human. He was still capable of error. And in this experience, he teaches us what causes defeat. And I'm going to show you from a couple verses here what will cause defeat in your life and how we must handle the discouragement of life, and we won't quite get that far today. But I want you to notice, first of all, I want you to notice this morning, a disobedient soldier. Now, most of you profess faith in Christ. That is, you say you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do that, you enlist in the God's army. We are in the Lord's army. In fact, we have some songs that we sing with the children back there. So here you are as a child of God, and you're a soldier. You're in the Lord's army. But this soldier in this story we are introduced to, his name is Achan. His name is in verse 1, and it's also in verse 20. You know what his name means? It means trouble. He's from the tribe of Judah, verse 16 tells us. He is known in Bible history as this, the man who, look at chapter verse 25 rather there in chapter 7, the man who troubled Israel. Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day," and all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire, and I'll say more about that next week, after they had stoned them with stones. Now, how would you like your testimony to be? You are the man that troubled Israel. You are the man that troubled Rome, New York. You are the man that troubled whatever it is that you troubled. That'd be an awful testimony. And that's what Achan is known for. The man who troubled Israel. Man, I'd hate that to be my testimony. Now, because of his disobedience, Israel was defeated at Ai. Because of his disobedience, 36 Jewish soldiers died. On our wall, I don't know if you ever read those signs when you walk by them, but on the back in RU it says 10 principles, and we have 10 principles there. And the sixth one is this: those who don't love the Lord won't help us follow, won't help you serve the Lord, or something like that. And it goes on and talks about those who don't love God are not going to help you love God. Achan is not loving God. His priorities are all messed up. And his sin, and that's on there somewhere too, maybe it's principle 5. Small sins lead to great disasters. And you'll see what his sin was. And we read a little bit at the end of the chapter what part of the consequences were, but we'll see more of that here this morning. So this really fits with principles 5 and 6 if you ever read those when you walk by there. Now let me say something. Because of his sin, 36 Jewish soldiers were killed, and it would be the only military defeat that Israel will suffer in the land of Canaan. A defeat that is forever associated with Achan's name, the man who troubled Israel. Now let me make this statement, don't forget it. Never underestimate the damage that one person can do outside the will of God. Ask Achan. Ask his wife. Ask his children. What one person, and they're outside the will of God, the damage that that person can do. Maybe you remember Abraham's disobedience in Egypt almost cost him his wife in Genesis chapter 12. Some of you may not remember this, but David was disobedient. He took an unauthorized census in 2 Samuel chapter 24. And you know how many Jewish men lost their life because of that census? 70,000. You know why? God doesn't laugh at sin. God doesn't look at sin and say, well, you know, boys will be boys. It's not how God approaches sin. God takes it serious. And beloved, you ought to take it serious. 70,000, that's a lot of guys. And all David did was take a census. But it was outside the will of God, and it was a sin of pride, if you really want to know what that was about. Then if you remember the story of Jonah, his refusal to obey God, it almost sank a ship. And what about Eve and Adam? Or Adam and Eve, however you want to say it. Their disobedience put the entire human race into sin. We need to heed Hebrews 12:15. The Bible says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Your bitterness doesn't hurt just you. Your bitterness hurts everybody. When you read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, don't turn there. The Bible talks about a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of sin affects everything. That's why every now and again there's an opportunity or a time for church discipline. Because your sin affects everybody else. Now, God made it clear. Look at verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, and he tells who he was, took of the accursed thing. Now, I want you to think, look at verse 11 before I move on. Israel has sinned. And they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing. Now, wait a minute. Who took it? Achan took it. Why did God blame Israel? Why would God blame the whole nation for the disobedience of one soldier? I'll tell you why, and I hope you get this. Israel was one people in the Lord, and God dwelt in the midst of their camp, and this made the Jews the Lord's special people. Read Exodus 19 and Deuteronomy 23. And this camp was to be kept holy. And by him bringing sin into the camp now was unholy. And anyone who disobeyed God defiled the camp, and this defilement affected their relationship to the Lord, and it affected their relationship one to another. Now, let me try to get you to understand this. We have relationships horizontally and vertically, right? We have a relationship to God, and we have a relationship to others. And my sin affects you. My doing right affects you, hopefully in a positive way, but my sin would affect you also. And there's no way around that. We are one body in Christ. So in a spiritual sense, we belong one to another. We affect each other. 1 Corinthians 12 is pretty clear on this. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the other members rejoice with it. Any weakness or infection in one part of our human body contributes to the weakness. The foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee. The eye can't say to the ear, I have no need of thee. You ever have a toothache? Do you ever notice your toothache affects the whole rest of your body? Do you ever break a bone? Maybe you broke a leg, and then you had to use crutches, and your arms got sore under here because of your crutches, which all came about because you had a broken bone, a broken leg. When I was in a pretty bad motorcycle accident several years ago. Sandy, you remember that? And I got to remember how this all happened. My left foot was broke from my toes to my knees in 17 different places. I mean, it was just crushed. Oh, it was painful. And I said it myself. I recommend you never do that, but I did it. And when I got to the hospital, it was all set, so they didn't have to set it. Oh, did that hurt. And I had a chipped spine. This shoulder was knocked out of joint, and this wrist was broke, or one of the other ones. So every part of my body ached. And when I tried to, I couldn't walk because I had my leg would unfunctionable. My mind, I wanted to do something. I couldn't do anything hardly. And what I tried to do only brought me agony, but I did it anyway most of the time because I can't stand to sit still and do nothing. So my garden was weed. Could you imagine me out there scooting along with one arm and I had every weed pulled out of my garden? It was perfect, but I can't sit still. Oh, it was painful. But it affected every part of my body. Every part of me hurt. And not every part of me was actually affected, but my leg, my tailbone, and my wrist, one wrist was the shoulder, the dislocated. That's not that bad. But man, the rest of it hurt. You ever get an abscess tooth? Your whole body aches. You might get a fever. Somebody was telling me, it might have been Ruth. I don't remember. So if it's not you, it's not. But somebody was telling me they knew someone that had an ear infection, and it affected their brain, and they actually died from it. Just a simple little ear infection. We've all had them. It's amazing how that is. Israel was one people in the Lord, and so are we. Now, I want you to look at this. Verse 20 and 21 is where we're going to focus most of our attention here. Achan answered Joshua. Achan was the guy that sinned that brought sin to Israel. Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. He took of the accursed thing. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted. Let me back up. Get your pen and underline the phrase, I saw, when I saw. And then underline the phrase, I coveted. And then he said, and took them. Underline the phrase, took them, and behold, they are hid in. Underline the word hid. In the earth of the midst in my tent and the silver under it. That'll be our outline for this morning. If you're a Christian and you've sat under much preaching, you've heard this outline before. The sinner is Achan. The sin was Achan heard his commander give the order that all the spoils in Jericho were to be devoted to the Lord and they were to go into his treasury. Let's go back and remind ourselves of that in chapter 6 of Joshua in verse 17. Right across the page. The city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed, when ye take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. All the silver and gold and vessels of brass of iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Is there any question to where they're supposed to go? I mean, they're supposed to go to the treasury of the Lord. That's obvious. So the people shouted when the police blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. I mean, that's pretty clear, verse 24. They burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and the iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. So there is no question what God's instruction was. And Achan had heard the commander, Joshua, say, you take the things that are here, the silver and the gold, and the treasury, and you put that into the treasury of the Lord. It is to be devoted to the Lord. Now, Jericho was Israel's first victory in Canaan. And it was the first fruits of all the spoils. And it belonged to the Lord. Remember Proverbs 3:9? Bring ye all the first fruits, they're God's. Well, he didn't do that. Achan disobeyed. And he took the steps that lead to sin. You underlined those steps in your Bible a moment ago. He saw, he coveted, he took, and he hid. If you do those things, you'll fall into sin. James said every man is drawn away of his own lust, and he's enticed, and lust bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. That's what they did. Now you think about Eve. That's where why you've probably, if you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this particular outline. Eve saw the forbidden fruit. She coveted it. Man, it'd make her wise. She took. She ate of it. Gave it to her husband, he ate as well. And then they tried to hide themselves from God. There is no man-made remedy to hide yourself and hide your sins from God. Remember David? David saw Bathsheba. He was where he wasn't supposed to be. He saw. He coveted. He said, I want that woman. He took her. And you know the consequences of that particular situation, if you know that as well. The steps are always the same. It's always the same. Since Achan also coveted the things of the world, he brought defeat to Israel and death to himself and his family. Now, here's what happened. When you're in Jericho, and you see the walls come down, and you see the gold and the silver, you're going to see it the first time. That's not the problem. You know where he went wrong? He looked the second time. You can't help the first time, but he should never have looked at it again. It's kind of like a man's first glance at a woman. He might say, she's an attractive lady. But he ought not to take the second look or the third look. That's when his mind starts to work. That second glance gets your mind to working. And that second glance got Achan's mind to working. Look at the silver. Look at the gold. They're going to put all this stuff in the treasury of the Lord. God doesn't need all this stuff. I'll take a little bit for me. So he looked, he coveted, and he took it. That's exactly what he did. His second mistake was this. He reclassified the treasure. Look at verse 21 again. When I saw among the spoils, was it really spoils? No. It was the treasure of God. They weren't spoils. They were part of God's treasury and they would be dedicated to Him. They belong to God. People today want to rewrite things. Is this my body or is this the temple of the Holy Spirit of God if I'm saved? Which one is it? Yeah, it's not my body to do anything I want to do with it. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm the, isn't what 1 Corinthians teaches us? I'm to honor God with my body. So I can't do this. Well, it's your body. You do whatever you want to do. No, that's wrong teaching. This is God's. Isaiah said, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, that put light, darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And isn't that what we do? We call good evil. We call evil good. We've got everything backwards. And that's what we've done. You know something? If God calls it wrong, says it's wrong, it's wrong. What was his third mistake? He coveted. James said every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. After the battle at Jericho and after they watched God do this amazing thing, what should Achan have been doing? He should have been praising God. He should have been thanking God. He should have been saying, man, look at this. Praise the Lord. We got the victory. But he was thinking that it would be like to own his own treasure and have his own stuff. So he wasn't praising God. And then he made another mistake. He thought he could get away with it when he said, and hid it in the earth. Now, I want to tell you something. Y'all know Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. You won't get away with sin. Now, think about something. That verse, Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. Who was that originally said to? The book of Numbers. Who do you think? I'll tell you. Israel. It was originally said to God's people. To God's people, God's word says, be sure your sin will find you out. Achan was part of Israel. He was from the tribe of Judah. And God told him, be sure your sins will find you out. Achan hid it in his tent. He thought he'd get away with it, but he isn't going to get away with it. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 32:36, for the Lord shall judge his people. God will judge his people. Achan had been blessed of God. God had cared for him and his family in the wilderness and taken care of them. He brought them safely across the Jordan River. Achan was one of those that got to see God do all these things. Given the army victory at Jericho, he was there for the victory. He even took of the treasury of the victory. And yet, in spite of all of the wonderful things that God had done for Achan, Achan disobeyed God just to get some wealth that he thought he could enjoy for himself. And by the way, he'll never get a chance to enjoy it. We read the verse, and we'll look at it more next week, where he'll be stoned to death because of his sin. Despite of all those things, and you know what the other thing is? Had he waited a day or two and went to the next city and got victory there, he could have gathered all the treasure from those victories that he would have wanted. But he saw, he coveted, he took, and he hid. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But he couldn't wait. And he didn't seek the kingdom of God first. Now let me say this. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. You are either an obedient soldier or you are a disobedient soldier. That's it. I mean, that's what you are. Okay? Here in this story, we have a disobedient soldier, Achan. And he took of the accursed thing and he brought sin into Israel. It's amazing to me when you stop and think about all that he saw. He saw Joshua take over as leader. He saw the new land. He was there when they crossed the Jordan River. He was there when they redid the covenant of circumcision and made them God's people. He saw God do some amazing, amazing, amazing things. And then he fell into sin. Now, what's that tell me? What's that tell you? That tells you that regardless of the fact that you sit in a church pew most every Sunday, you can still fall into sin. You still battle that. You know, Achan wasn't immune from that temptation of taking of that stuff. And you're not immune from it either. He never considered this. Your sin affects those that follow you. We'll finish this chapter next week. But when you do wrong, it affects other people. It affects your family. It affects your church family. Every once in a while I watch this program on television. It's called Intervention. And these people are like addicted to drugs. And, you know, sometimes the parents give the kids money and enable it. And I can't believe it, but I get frustrated watching the show. They enable their children, you know, they give them money, and they know the kids are going to use the money for drugs, or maybe the mom or the dad is a drug head, so the kids actually give it works both ways. It's a bizarre. And they love their sin so much that it's almost like they'll let their families go to ruins because of their sin. Your sin affects those that follow you. That's the main point I'm trying to get across, in case you haven't figured that out. And you're capable of sinning. Achan was capable of sinning. Now, let me say this before I close in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never even had your sinful condition dealt with. If you're a Christian, you need to confess something to the Lord today and become an obedient soldier. You need to get that right with God. But if you're here and you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, you need to come to God and ask for forgiveness of your sinful condition. Because that what you give up there is you give up eternal life there. That's really bad. So let's stand together with our heads bowed. And I have one simple challenge. Are you an obedient soldier or are you a disobedient soldier? And I would warn you about being careful of the steps of seeing, coveting, taking, and tried to cover it up, because be sure your sin will find you out. Say, well, preacher, you'll never know. I've done things you've never found out about. I'm sure you have. But God saw them. God knows everything that you do. God knows everything that I've done. And every time you sin, you didn't sin against me, necessarily. You sin against God. All sin is a sin against God, who is thrice holy. So you can get away with it. In man's eyes. But that doesn't mean you're going to get away with it in God's eyes. As a matter of fact, you won't get away with it in God's eyes. So are you an obedient soldier? Are you a disobedient? Say, well, preacher, there's some things. Just get them right with God today. Confess them to the Lord today and leave here with them right with God today. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you've never gone to Him and said, God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved and I need a Savior. You're not even quite sure what all that means today. You come and someone will take a Bible and show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and how your sins can be forgiven and you can have eternal life and you don't have to forfeit that. Father, as we come to you this morning, we come, you know, this whole book of Joshua has been exciting and fun, and it's been about faith growing and you doing awesome things, and then all of a sudden in the middle of this seventh chapter, and there's a defeat in the land of victory because of somebody's sin. And we can suffer defeats in our life because of our sin, and we can suffer defeats, and we can cause others to suffer defeats in their life because of our sin as well. So as we sit here and judge our hearts, examine our hearts, we have to ask, am I an obedient soldier or am I a disobedient soldier? That's the simple message. And I pray that your people would realize that their sin affects those that follow them. Always does. And just like Achan and Israel, the believer and the church, it's the same. So God, may we be obedient. We sing, do you really want revival? Are you willing to obey? Although we can't make revival happen, there must be obedience if we are to see you bring revival. And I pray that every person here today would leave walking in obedience to you. Secondly, I pray for those that do not know Christ as Savior, that they would indeed come and find what it is to have their sins washed away, the greatest thing they'll ever do in their life. So speak to hearts, challenge every person, saved, lost, making a difference, to do the right thing and get right with you this day. In Jesus' name, amen. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, as Brother Mike sings, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you come this morning and let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure your sins are forgiven, that heaven is your home and that Christ is your Savior. If you're a believer and you need to get something right with God, you get that right with God today.
To the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas. Are there no foes for me to
listen
face?
Listen to the song while you're praying.
Must
all Christians ought to be
praying. Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to
God? Have your sins been washed away?
Sure, I must fight if I would reign.
Are you obedient or disobedient?
My courage, Lord, I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Well, Father, am I a soldier of the cross if I'm saved? The answer is yes. Yes, I am. The question then becomes, am I obedient or disobedient? Achan was disobedient. I pray that there's no Achans here. At least there won't be when anybody leaves. That they'll be walking in obedience to your word, to your commands, to the truth of Scripture. We'll look at the rest of this sad story next week. And I pray from it we will grow and mature and desire to live a holy, godly, righteous, faithful, dedicated, committed, consistent life for your glory and your honor. Thank you for the attention of your people this morning. Give us a good afternoon, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. God bless you. If I can pray with you this morning or you need to see me, come on up. Otherwise, have a great afternoon. We'll see you tonight. And Trish, we'll hear from you this evening. And if